we'd open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 20. And this morning I'd like to continue in our study of the parables. This will be number 18 in our series. This is Matthew 20. We're going to read from verse 1 through 16, which deals with the 11th hour people or the 11th hour worker. And before we read, I would like to say that there are no less than two more parables, I guess, that we'll be dealing with here on the vineyard situation. But this particular parable deals with the 11th hour people, and it's very interesting when you look at that number 11, and we'll get into that a little bit this morning, but our main focus is going to be on who these people are. Beginning verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle." And the word idle there means slow or barren. They were free from labor. They were at leisure, or they could have been lazy, shunning the labor which with one ought to perform. That's the actual Greek definition. Anyway, they were in the marketplace. And he said unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you." And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle. And he said unto them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" And they said unto him, "Because no man hath hired us." And he saith unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." So when even was come, or the evening time was come, the lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, "Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning with the last unto the first." And when they had came and were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And the word penny is translated from the word denarian. We'll get into that in just a minute. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have also received more, and they likewise received every man a penny, a denarian. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that which is thine, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee." Now notice the principle of Alpha and Omega here is being slipped into here. The good man representing God the Father, he says he will treat the Alpha and the Omega equally the same and give them the same payment. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many shall be called, but few chosen." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. And gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this parable, and knowing that your prophet said that all the New Testament speaks of this hour. And so, Father, we would ask that you would help us as we study this parable to understand how it applies to the people of this hour. And, Lord, we just commit our study into thy keeping in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I think what's interesting here is, number one, the wage was a penny. And this is brought up in a parable about the 11th hour people. And the word translated penny actually was denarian, which is a Roman silver coin in the time of the Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ and the apostles. All right, it was worth about 15 cents, but the actual meaning was taken from denarian. It means containing 10. It means containing 10. And it took its name from it being equal to 10 asses. Now, an ass is a donkey. And I think it's quite interesting that in this 11th hour, the ass is a symbol of the Democratic Party. And I think it's more interesting that we have 10 asses who are running for the presidency of the United States. And, you know, I mean, 10, well, they're Democrats, they're donkeys. And but I think it's interesting because you have 9 that are running officially and 1 that's running unofficially, you know, that being Hillary. She's kind of running behind the scenes. So actually, there are 10 Democrats running for the presidency, and they include the 9 who publicly are running, and then Hillary, who is running behind the scene. So you have the denarian in the parable, which is means 10 asses, which you have 10 asses running for the presidency of the United States. And I just think, you know, the symbolism is quite unique. And I think we should look at these things because they all, you know, the Lord has a sense of humor. And the Democratic Party, you know, they are typed with a donkey. And so all these things kind of fit together. Brother Bram said the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. So that aside, I'd like to look at these this 11th hour people, because that's what the parable is mainly about, is the fact that they received the same wage as the first hour people. And in other words, the Omega people are going to receive the same wage, or receive the same wage, or the same, I won't call it payment, but, you know, same wage as the first hour people, or the Alpha people. Now, this parable does, it deals with the 11th hour people, so we need to understand who these 11th hour people are. In order to understand who these 11th hour people are, we're going to really need to rely on vindication, because anybody could take a guess and say what they think it is. But so we're going to go to Brother Branham's message and from questions and answers. But before we do, I'd just like to also mention that there is the number 11 comes up in Scripture not so many times, maybe, you know, less than half a dozen or a dozen. It's not very many. But the usages of the 11 is significant, because it was 11-day journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. And then you have the Ten Commandments, which the number 10 signifies order. And then you have the 12 tribes, and you have the 12 elders, and you have the 12 apostles, and the number 12 signifies governance. So on one hand you have order, the other hand you have governance. But here's this number 11 that's right in between, which means that if you add one to order, you're starting to go out of order. And if you take one away from governance, then you've kind of got a situation that isn't fully governed. You know, there's a little anarchy creeping in. So with the number 11, then you have in the Scripture, you have that there was 11 curtains that kept the presence of the Lord from being seen by the people. 11 curtains made out of goat hairs, dyed goat hairs. And so, you know, that, and they prevented the people from the presence. So here you have this number 11 again, which speaks of presence, and yet the hiding of the presence. And you've got this 11th hour, which speaks of a people receiving the same wage as they did in the first hour. And so we have a lot of these things that I'd like to just kind of maybe clear up a little bit today. For questions and answers, Brother Branham said, this is a 1954, page 93, paragraph 205. He said, but look, now he saw all four corners of the earth. Now, Brother Branham, in this question and answers, is explaining to them Revelation chapter 7. And in verse 1 of chapter 7, it talks about these things. So he says, there's an angel standing on the four corners of the earth. Now you say, well, I thought it was round. That don't keep it from having four corners, you see. Now when you think about the earth, if you look at it from a globe or from, you know, a satellite view, you've got the two lower corners of South America and Africa. You got the two upper corners as being Europe or Eurasia and the United States. So, you know, you've got this four corners when you look at the world or the globe. But anyway, it says, now, on four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. In other words, here went the winds a-blowing in the wars and strife to come and all over the world. When did that happen? Never until the First World War. So never had there been a world war. There had been European conflicts. There had been conflicts in every nation, conflicts in even every corner, but not all corners. And here in World War I, you had, you had the Axis, and you had the Allies, and you had the development of the of a global war. You had the war spilling over into, you know, other continents and everything else. So, so Brother Brown is explaining this, and he says, notice this angel was to hold back those winds. He says, now, when did that ever happen? Never until the First World War, holding the winds, and they were striving, going to take over. And now here come another one. Now if you'll watch and refer to that angel, he's the same angel that came out in Ezekiel 9 when the men from Hinder, when the men come from Hinder their gates with slaughtering weapons and was going through Jerusalem to slaughter the Jews. And you remember he said, hold it, stop it, till you go through the city and put a mark on every forehead that sighs and cries for the abomination done in the city. Is that right? Then after he did that, then he let them go in and slaughter. Now that was the persecution under Titus. Now you see, he's the same angel come forth again, coming from the east, from where Jesus shall come, and he has the seal of the living God. Now, let's go back to that first, when Titus came in. Because I can't remember when we did this, but maybe 2 years ago. But we were looking at it's either a film that we had or something that we had. But they showed where not one Christian was killed in Jerusalem. That they had taken heed to the words of Jesus, and when they saw the abomination of desolation coming in, they fled the city, and they weren't there at the Sabbath when they closed the gates. And so not one Christian was found amongst, there was about 1 million people that were slaughtered and died of you know, just eating each other and everything else because they were starved out. You see, Titus came down, they encircled Jerusalem, they starved the people out, and then they came in, the people were weak, and they just slaughtered. They went to it. And what's interesting, in the book by Josh McDowell, he mentions about where the fulfillment of the scripture, where Jesus said, not one stone will be left unturned, that when Rome came in, they instead of stripping the gold that was, you know, the whole temple was inlaid with gold. Well, instead of trying to strip it out, what they did was they melted. They burnt the temple. And when they burnt the temple, the gold all went down into the cracks between the stones, and so then they just dug it up and they turned over every stone in doing so. And that fulfilled the words of Jesus. You see? So, but not one Christian was found in Jerusalem. And so he said, stop. The angel was commanded to stop because they had come, they had parked there, they were ready to come on, and then he says, stop. And so what did Rome do? They stopped. And they just sat back and they just waited. And they thought, well, now what we're going to do? See, in their mind, they thought, what we're going to do is we're just going to let them starve out. But that gave the people, the Christians, enough time to sneak out the different places that night and to make their way away, to get away from there. And so those people that had the seal of God on their forehead, that had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. And Brother Rand goes on to say that. Now, what is the seal of the living God? Oh, if that ain't a big dispute in the world today. Some say it's keeping the Sabbath, and some say it's doing this or that, but the Bible said that the Holy Spirit is the seal of God. Ephesians 4 and 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. See? All right, now it's the Holy Spirit. Then what come? Now look, when I think of this, my heart just jumps. Now, he said, hold the four winds until, in other words, we seal the servants of God in their foreheads. The servants, the Jews. John turned, and now remember, those Jews that were sealed, those were Christians. You see, because the Jew was that's where they were in Jerusalem. And those were the Christians. They were Christian Jews. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, they didn't all of a sudden, they were Jewish and all of a sudden now they're Christians, so they're not Jews anymore. You know, they're still Jews. You see? Okay, now. Anyway, so Brother Bramett said this was a persecution under Titus. Okay, now he says, all right, it's the Holy Spirit. Then what come? Now look. Oh, when I think of this, my heart just jumps. Now, he said, hold the four winds until, in other words, we seal the servants of God in their foreheads, the servants of Jews. And John turned and said, I've seen 144,000 sealed away. Now, the winds all started in, and they would have covered the earth, and the Battle of Armageddon would have taken place in First World War. But something happened. Now notice that. He says the Battle of Armageddon would have taken place in the First World War. But something happened. Now, I've got to get another scripture here to show you. Jesus talked about the people that he said, some come in at that hour and another hour, and there was the 11th hour people. So Brother Brown now is referring to, he says, now something happened. He said, now, I need to get in this other scripture. I need to show you about this parable of the 11th hour people. All right? He says, the 11th hour people. Then he says again, the 11th hour people. Now, you who are spiritual, read between the lines. Because I got to jump here and hurry. Now look, come in the 11th hour people. And, right. Now the first come in and received a penny, and the next come in and received a penny. And the 11th hour people got the same penny that they did at the first. Is that right? The 11th hour. Now watch, the Jews is the milepost that we're following him now. Now when the First World War come, it took every Jew and they scattered to all the nations. like the first scriptures that today was asked, how that we would scatter them among the nations. And there they are. And have and here come the winds coming into Jerusalem everywhere a world over. Now, notice what he's saying. When the first thing happened, Titus came and basically destroyed Jerusalem, and the Jews escaped, and the Christians escaped, and they went up into the, you know, all over the world. They were dispersed all over. Well, then, then now, at the 11th hour, something happens. World War I takes place, and it's going out there, and you got this devastating war. There's, I can't remember how many people, 9 million people, I think, were killed in World War I. And anyway, so and they're using mustard gas, they're using chemical weapons, they're using all this stuff. And, you know, the Argonne Forest became, you know, just a completely desolated place. And, you know, Europe was just basically ramshackled by man. And this is all man's doing. And then all of a sudden, something happens. It stops. It all just stops. And Brother Brown tells us why it stopped. He's talking about this 11th hour people. Now, he says, now watch, the Jews is the milepost, okay, that we're following him now. Now, when the First World War came, it took every Jew, they had been scattered all to the nations, like the first scriptures that today was asked, how that we scattered among the nations, okay? And he said, and hold it until we have sealed the servants of our God. In other words, we're gaining them in from all the nations, probably should have been gathering, we're gaining them in from all the nations, everywhere, bringing them in, because we got to get them right in here to seal that 144,000. Hold it. And the World War I stopped on the 11th hour of the year, the 11th day in the month, the 11th day in the month, the 11th hour in the day, that the 11th hour people could come in. So we have the 11th month, the 11th day, the 11th hour, so that the 11th hour people could come in. The last call for the Jew. So the 11th hour people that we're looking at here is the Jew. Because the Alpha was the Jew, the Omega is the Jew. You know, we always use this as Christians, and well, we are living in the 11th hour. We are in essence 11th hour people as well. You know, let's face it, we are here in the 11th hour. But the focus of the parable is not the bride, it's the Jew. It's the Jew. Because in the Alpha, it was the Jew that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the Omega, it's going to be the Jew. When finally he receives it, it's all done. In between, we have the Christian, we have the Gentile that comes in under Paul and receives it as well, and up through the time of William Branham, and they receive it as well. But this parable is talking about in the first workers and the last workers. And so we're looking then at the Jew, and Brother Brown said, that's our timepiece. Okay? So he says, and the World War I stopped on the 11th month of the year, the 11th day of the month, the 11th hour in the day, that the 11th hour people could come in, the last call for the Jew. And he's going to receive the same baptism of the Holy Ghost that they got back in the beginning, back yonder at Pentecost, be baptized the same way, and everything, the 11th hour people moving in. And he said, hold it now until we have sealed. Now, how long are you going to hold it? Until we have sealed the servants of our God. Now, we're sealing the Gentiles. They've been sealed away. Thousands times thousands through these persecutions and tribulations, they're sealed away. But wait a minute, just a minute. Don't let the time come till we seal these servants. And he sealed 144,000. Then the winds was let loose again. Now notice, and since the First World War, there was constantly been a persecution against the Jew. And remember, the scripture says, until we seal the servants. And the bride is never looked at as a servant. You see, she's the wife, or we're sons and daughters of God. But the servant is always a Jew. Okay? And he says, now notice, the First World War, there was constantly been a persecution against the Jew, up raised Hitler for the Second War. And when he did... He began to what? He was going to tear the world right around. Is that right? And he was going to tear it up and right around. And yes, he was. And everything had to be communism. And you remember when they was going to put me in jail down here? I was preaching the same thing down here at that time, down in the hall that night. Yes, sir. And saying that there'll be three isms, and that they'll all heap up into one ism, and that ism will bring forth a persecution that would send Jesus back to the earth again. That's exactly so. That was communism and Hitler, Nazi, and so forth. And how that fascism of Mussolini and Hitler and Stalin, and I said one of them will take the place of it, and I don't know which one it'll be. But I believe it'll be the King of the North. Surely you remember those things now. Those has been taught in here, and Brother Mahoney, you all from way back then, they're through. And they said if you preach that, you know, they were going to put him in jail. So anyway, so Brother Brown was kind of referring back to that. But notice he was talking about these three isms rising up, and you had Nazism. And Nazism, what they did was they basically targeted out the Jew, and they killed 6 million Jews. Well, then you had Stalinism, or, you know, communism. And under Stalin, the Jews were persecuted, and they fled, and they were driven back to Israel. Under Nazism, they fled Poland and different places, and they you know, the ones that did escape, and they got back to the Palestine. And then you had under Mussolini in Italy, you know, and his influence, you know. And so there was this factions all over that was driving the Jew back to home, you see? And so this is part of that 11th hour. Because Brother Branson said, notice the whole thing stopped. World War I stopped. World War I could have devastated the entire world. Like Brother Branson said, it could have been Armageddon. But all of a sudden, for no reason, nobody knew why it stopped. It just stopped. Why? Because there had to be a gathering back first. The Jews had to be in their place, you see? 11. Now notice, you have 10, which is order, you have 12, which is governance, and 11, which is right in between, you see, that 11th hour people, Laodicea, not order, not governance, but Laodicea, that 11th hour begins. And we go right up to the point of the midnight cry, and then it's over. You see? All right. Now, from the seal of God, Brother Brown said, I want to ask you something, church. The Bible says that the mark of God in that day was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The seal that was on the people to make them different from the others was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's right. The New Testament said in Ephesians 4 and 30 that the same Holy Spirit, or the same Holy Ghost, is the seal of God for the people in the last days unto your eternal destination. That's right. Then the Holy Ghost was right. Now, we had the Methodist age, we had the Baptist age, we had the justification, we had sanctification, we had all these things come along, and right about 40 years ago, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was first learned in the United States. All right, and he's saying this in 1954. So, you know, back about 40 years ago, he's talking about 1914 time frame, but actually it goes back to 1906. But what's interesting is 1906, if you add 12 years to that, which is governance, you've got 1918, and that's the year that in 11-11 at 11 o'clock of 1918, which is 12 years after the bringing forth. So you had governance up until that time. Then from that time on, you've got chaos. You've got world chaos. You've got World War II. You've got all this terrorism. You've got all these things. And what's it doing? It's driving the Jew back home. The Jew's not safe anywhere. So they're coming from all over. We had the movie where we showed the 10 tribes and how they located the 10 tribes, and they're coming all back. You see? So there's this big move that by man to try to kill them off, and yet there's a move by God to bring them back. Was it last year that they had the Durban meeting in Durban, South Africa? They call it the Durban Conference, and the whole petition of the Durban Conference was to say, hey, there shouldn't be a Jewish state. That, you know, these people are a bunch of blankety blanks, and you know, the whole thing was against that. The United States pulled out of the meeting and was the only country that did so. But the entire United Nations sanctioned and came against Israel. For what? For defending themselves against the Palestinians who were car bombing them. You know, they try to get, what's his name, Yasser Arafat to admit, they kept saying, you know, if we can just have peace for Israel. You know, you hear that all the time, peace for Israel. So Yasser Arafat said, there'll never be peace until we get our people their own land, their own governance, and everything else. And so finally, they have a prime minister come along and say, okay, you've got it. Everything you want, you've got. And what did Arafat do? He said, that's not good enough. It's not good enough. You see, he's a Muslim. And as long as there is a Jewish state, he will not be satisfied. They don't want the Jewish state. See, back when all this 11th hour started, it was, kill the Jew, you know, we're against, you know. Then, now they say, We don't care about the Jew. It's a Jewish state we don't want. When God has brought them together, God brought them together. And the world says we don't want that. What they're saying is we don't want what God has done. Then comes the judgment. Then comes Armageddon. You see? So you see where all this is leading up to. Okay, now they used to call it in the second the second definite work of grace, sanctification. Sanctification is right. A vessel must be first be took up, picked up. It's all full of mud. It's justified because the man has picked it up. The next thing, it's got to be cleansed and scoured. The word sanctify means cleansed or cleaned out or set aside for service. But set aside for service don't mean that you're in service. And then Jesus said, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be filled. See, the Holy Ghost came on the sanctified, the real true sanctified believers, and signs and wonders begin to manifest themselves as soon as the sanctified vessel has got right and the Holy Ghost got into it. See what I mean? You can't bring oil out of a bottle unless there's oil in there. No matter how clean the bottle is, you can't bring speaking in tongues and divine healing and power of God out of something that there's nothing in there. The Holy Ghost has to be brought then. Look about 40 years ago, let's think back, we look around and watch close, there was a great rumor went forth, a World War I. First time in all the world's history, a world war. Where was he starting for? Right straight into Germany. What happened? Change. No one knows till this day how it stopped. Nobody knows. Read The Decline of the World War. Every volume, I've read it. There's not one person. The only thing that they knowed, that there was an order come forth, surrender. And no one knows who give it. And why? Oh God, you've got to call, or excuse me, you're going to call me a holy roller anyhow, so I might as well act my feelings. Look, how thankful I am for the Holy Spirit to be here on the platform to reveal. Now watch. They went forth, every man coming to the world, slaughtering weapons to utterly destroy everything in a world war. But all of a sudden it stopped. Revelation, the 7th chapter, said, I saw the four angels coming down with their slaughtering weapons, and there went a man coming from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he said, hold the four winds, hold it. Why? The Jews ain't in the right position yet. Glory. The Jews ain't in the right place. As God promised, He told them where they would be setting yonder. He said, when you see the fig tree putting forth its branches, know that the time is nigh. And when you see the Jews returning to Palestine, know the time is nigh. The generation will not pass off till all of this be fulfilled. And brethren, the last 7 years is the first time that the Jewish flag has ever flown in 2,000 years over Jerusalem. Yes, 2,500 years. Amen. The Jews wasn't right where it could be, or could. But he said, hold it, hold it, hold it. Why? Why hold? Watch. The same, they were some Gentiles yet, between the age of Wesley and the age of Pentecost, had to come in. Before the Pentecostal went into Laodicea church age, there was an open door set before the church, an open door, and whosoever will, let him come and drink from the fountain of waters of life freely. Open door set, oh my, and he said, hold it. Why? Jesus said, a man went out, and he worked, and now Brother Branham says, why? Now he's going to tell us the parable, okay? Jesus said, a man went out, and he worked, and another man went out in another hour, and he worked, and another went out and worked, and one man went out at the 11th hour. And when he stopped at the 11th hour, he gave every one of them the same portion of the 11th hour. They wondered why. Why did he got the 11th hour? Everyone coming in, Martin Luther that worked, walked under Luther's dispensation, died in grace. Other shouting Methodists that died under Wesley's age, died in grace, and were living in another age, not back there, but here. Mother used to go in an ox cart, and we now go in a model V8 Ford, almost jet propelled. That's right. We're living in a different age altogether, and we're living in a different dispensation. We're living in the day of the restoration of the power of God, and Christ said would be the powers yonder, like they did in the beginning. We're living in another age. Now, don't look back to Wesley, Methodists, and all these Baptists and Presbyterians. Look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, of the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, watch him, he said, hold it until what? The 11th hour people could come in. The last calling of the Gentiles. So now in one place, Brother Brand calls it the 11th hour calling of the Jew. Now here, in just a few, few months later, he calls it the Gentiles. But you're going to find out in another sermon, he calls it both. Because we are the people living at the 11th hour. Therefore, the last one that receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the Jews. We are the last to get it in the Gentile, and then it turns to the Jews. I think what's interesting is we're getting a lot of hits from Israel. You know, and I'm not saying that this is part of it, but I'm just saying that, well, we are part of it. But the fact is that it's the ministry of William Branham that's getting these people prepared to receive those two prophets. You see? All right, now. Now watch him. He said, hold it. Until what? The 11th hour people could come in. The last calling of the Gentiles. Mother worked there. Dad and them worked here. And grandmother worked back there. But this is our age, the 11th hour. That world war stopped on the 11th month in the year. The 11th day of the month. The 11th hour in the day. The 11th minute in the hour. That the 11th hour people might come in. What? And receive the same baptism of the Holy Ghost that they did back there in the beginning to bring back the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, same signs and wonders. And isn't it interesting that if we are living in the 11th hour and they're looking for a rebuilding of the temple, did you know that the temple was finished on the 11th month, the 11th day of the month? Go look it up. The temple was finished. They gilded it with gold in the 11th month, which actually was the 8th month of the Hebrew, but it was the 11th month of the Gentile. It was actually November, December, which is the 8th month in the Jewish calendar, but it's the 11th month in ours, and it was on the 11th day. So, you know, we see all these comparisons. Okay. Now, now we find thousands times thousands of Jews. God hardened the Pharaoh's heart to drive them to the Palestine. God hardened Hitler's heart, Mussolini's heart, Stalin's heart. He's driving by force into Palestine, not knowing what he's doing, working right into the hands of God. Them 144,000 will stand yonder, and one of these days, some divine, holy, anointed prophet of God will go over there with signs and wonders. And those Jews will say, that's what we're looking for. Yes, sir. And God will baptize 144,000 Jews, and the rapture will come. The Gentiles will cease. Or the Gentile age will cease. The atomic bombs will explode and take the world, and the Gentile church will be raptured up to stand there in the presence of God. And who are these that come up out of the great tribulation, washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb? They are before God without spot. Amen. Now, mark of the beast, the confederation of the churches, Catholicism, all bound together, go into chaos. The remnant, the Holy Ghost bride, and the people today that are laughing at and speaking in tongues, they're laughing at speaking in tongues, they're laughing at divine healing, and they're laughing at the prophecy that are laughing at the manifestation of the Spirit, and the same Spirit that dominated those Jews back there, that blasphemed the Holy Ghost back there, and died under the divine judgment. This United States is bound for divine judgment under the power of the Holy Ghost. They've condemned and made fun and turned out and called us holy rollers and everything else. But the hour is here when God will pour out His divine judgment. Amen. Now get ready. The only safe place there is today is in Christ. God bless you. If you're not in, press until you get there. Until you get in. Those that are in Christ Jesus will God bring with Him in the second coming. Without the seal of God, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's just left confederation of apostasy is the mark of the beast. That's thus saith the Lord. See what I mean? But these religious teachers are trying to put it to communism, or put it on communism, when they don't realize it's working right in their own midst. He said, they'll be blind leaders of the blind. He said, we'll have eyes and can't see. He said, you do in your traditions speak the doctrine of men, making commandments of men, making the commandments of God of none effect. You laugh at the Catholic for setting up their catechism, and you may go right up here to some conference or something and decide whether they can receive divine healing or a baptism of the Holy Spirit in these things. And they condemn it and turn it down. And you laugh at the Catholic. And you ain't got no right to laugh at the Catholic, because if she was a whore, the Bible said that you're a harlot in the same confederation. Come out from among it, my people. Be separated, saith God, and I will receive you unto myself. That's right. Well, why can't this Branham Tabernacle come out of this wrinkle? I want to know if you people around here believe this gospel. It's been preached, and you've seen it, signs and wonders, and confirmed, and everything the Lord has spoke has come to pass. Then what's the matter around here? When I hear there's contentions among you, when I hear that there's strife, I want you to write out what's the matter from the depths of your heart and lay it on this platform pulpit tomorrow night. Now, that's an idea. I think things are going pretty good here, but that's pretty interesting. Brother Branham asked them each to write out what they felt from the depths of their heart without getting political or getting nasty, but from the depth of your heart, what do you think is the problem? Put it up here. It's like, come stand by me with your Bible. You know? Because you lie and put it up there. You know, woe is you. So that was anyway, he says, I want to see why this church can't be carried away with the power of God and the baptism of the Holy Ghost with signs and wonders. What's the matter? Your pastor believes it. You believe it. So what's wrong here? There's something wrong. This should be a lighthouse of the world. This should be a place where the powers of God and the weeping and crying and seeking for God ought to be going on day and night. Why can't we have it? That's a good question. I will, but you will not, said Jesus. You would not. Come and buy of me. I know you said, he said, you are rich and had need of nothing. Talking to the churches, says, you say that I'm rich and I have need of nothing. We're building an organization, and you don't know it. But you are wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked, and don't know it. If a man is in that fix and knows it, he will help himself. But when you're that way and don't know it, and Christ said that the churches in this last day would be that way and wouldn't know it, pinch your spiritual being, my brother, my dear brother. Pinch your soul, as it was, with prayer and say, Lord Jesus, check up on me. Let me take inventory tonight before I go to bed and find out what's the matter with me. I've been professing for years and I don't see these things that Jesus said, that it would be with me and these things would go on. I don't see it. What's the matter, Lord Jesus? Be honest. Be sincere. Come down and talk to him as face to face with a brother and he will reveal it to you. He will tell you. Tear your soul apart and lay it out there and say, Lord Jesus, if it cost me my family, if it cost me my life, if it cost me my job, if it cost me my membership, if it cost me prestige in the city, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. Now remember, Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but few there be that'll find it. For broad is the way that leads to destruction. 1,054,000. Broad is the gate that leads to destruction. And many there be that will go to... I'll go in thereat. That's right. He that will lose his life for my sake shall find it. He that loves father, mother, sister, brother, or anything better than me is not worthy to be called mine. He will put his hand on a plow and start forward, even turn to look back, is not worthy of plowing. Brother, one of these days, the last Holy Ghost anointed gospel sermon will be preached. One of these days, the last gun will fire. One of these days, the last song will be sung. One of these days, the last prayer will be prayed. And one of these days, the doors of the tabernacle will be closed for the last time. The Bible will be closed on the pulpit. And you'll stand in the presence of God to give an account for what you've heard tonight. What then? What then? When the great book is opened, what then? When tonight comes on, record that, what then? Oh, as the song says, what then? When the great books is open, what then? When the ones that rejected the Savior tonight will be asked to give a reason, what then? Your job stood in your way. Your parents stood in your way. Your boyfriend stood in your way. Your girlfriend stood in your way. Your church stood in your way. What then? What then? When the great book is opened, what then? When the ones that's rejecting this message tonight, you're going to ask to be given a reason, or to give a reason, what then? What are you going to do about it? You know what the mark of the beast is. You know what the seal of God is. It's up to you. May the Lord bless you while we stand. Now, that was quite a poll, to the people from Brother Brown there. Now, from Mark of the Beast, he says, look, God overshooting now, saying, hold these wars here. Don't let total destruction, total annihilation come until we have sealed 144,000 Jews. Then at that time, oh, watch what's taking place. All the world was going to war, and all of a sudden it stopped. And I've read the decline of the World War I. But no man knows today why it stopped. No man give any orders for it to stop. But it was stopped on November the 11th. That's right, the 11th month in the year, the 11th hour in the day, the 11th minute after 11. What is it? That's the 11th hour people could come in. He said, some come in at 1, received the penny, and on down. And the 11th hour people got the same kind of penny that they got at the beginning, 11th hour people. And along about that time, and I want you to notice, John recognized every Jew. And he knew that their military rank, and he knew their names by tribe. And John, being a Jew himself, he said, all these are children of Israel. And after this, the ninth verse. And I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, no time when they were marked. The Israel, the Jew, is already to be sealed right now. They're sitting in Jerusalem right now. They're waiting for somebody to come and prove to them that Jesus is the Christ. That's right. You can't teach them some kind of a dry-eyed theology. The Jews seek signs, and they got to find a sign-working ministry, or they won't believe it. The Stockholm Church sent millions of Bibles to them. They turned over and began to read. And they said, if this Jesus of Nazareth be the Messiah, let us see him do the sign of the prophet, and we'll believe him. Waiting for the hour. And brother, when the Jew receives the gospel, the Gentile days is done. God will turn back to the Jew as certain as I'm standing here. Now notice, notice this, if you will, for a minute. Notice when these people come up, and after this, no certain time. And after this, I behold a great multitude, no man could number, number of the nations, kindreds, tongues, stood before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, salvation to our God that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the 24 elders and fell down to worship God, saying, blessing, wisdom, glory, might, power, beat unto our God forever and ever. Amen. If that ain't an old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting, I never seen one in my life. Right. Who are this great multitude? Between the times of the Jews being sealed, foreseen, John seen them. But between this time, no time set, when they were sealed, the Holy Ghost began to fall 50 years ago here in Azusa Street and scattered all over the world with the old-fashioned apostolic blessings of God upon them. And that's where those white-robed saints come from, out of that great revival that swept the land not long ago. And now we've got lukewarm and run out, and God's going to turn to the Jews as certain as I'm standing on the platform. The people has rejected the Holy Ghost. They're laughing, making fun of it, and the people's going along pretending to have it. And the church has got patterned after the worldly church. They go out, and they dress different. And nowadays, I tell you, you can't hardly get people to come to the altar. Used to be that the people come to church. Here not long ago, a little girl was going to sing in a choir for me, and she said that she wouldn't even come because she couldn't get one of them kinky manicures for her hair. And she said, and she had to sing in a choir. And when I heard that, I said, you couldn't sing if you wanted to now. That's right, brother. I'm an old-fashioned preacher that believes this. That a man's got to be proved before he walks behind my pulpit. And you take some of these guys out here in the roadhouse, play their guitar tonight, and tomorrow night come to the altar, and the next night preaching the gospel, it's a disgrace to the Holy Spirit. Amen. John said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. We need some more Baptist preachers like John that'll lay the hewing line to the gospel. Let the chips fall wherever it may. Amen. We've got Hollywood in the church, and it needs to be shook out. It needs to be shook out there by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know that's truth. The Holy Ghost church dressing and acting, and why it's got to the place, it's horrible. Call preachers to the platform, and they'll go down to the altar to pray, and they can't do it. They got their clothes all tailored, made and creased up in their suits, and paying $150 for a suit of clothes, and you can't even bend. Amen. You know it's the truth. And women out there with all painted up fingernails and a $50 coat wrapped around you and a $100 dress on, and you can't even kneel down. And you won't even have children. You practice birth control and pack some little snotty-nosed dog around, calling it something and giving it love of a baby, and then call yourselves Holy Ghost Church. You need to be ashamed of yourself and repent. Amen. That's the truth. What we need tonight is a bunch of impersonating the Holy Ghost. This bunch of people impersonating the Pentecostal church ought to hit the sawdust trail down here and mourn under that until God comes down and gives you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what we need tonight, the blessed Pentecostal impersonators. The altar is open. The sawdust trail is ready. Amen. If you want a revival, start it in your own soul. Amen. The same impersonating, acting like the rest of the church, went out after Babylon, that little old associate, half-cousin you running around with. Amen. Well, God bless you, friends. Now you know the truth. So, that's, you know, Brother Brian was really laying it out there. But I tell you what, I remember when I was in college, and I knew that, you know, I didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I was seeking the Holy Ghost, and I went to a Pentecostal church with a friend of mine. He was studying, you know, at the seminary there, and they had a church every Friday night, and I thought, well, I'll go on Friday nights just to kind of, you know, keep myself, you know, around the things of the Lord. And but I had left a Baptist church because the Baptist minister had an affair with the secretary, and I said, well, you know, if the leadership's that way, I'm not going to stick around. So I started coming to the United Pentecostal. I liked the way the sisters were, you know, they believed in holiness, and you know, they had the long hair and the dresses and stuff like that. And so I started going to that, and, well, they said, well, you got the Holy Ghost? I said, no. They said, well, have you ever spoken tongues? I said, yeah. And they said, well, you got it. I said, no, I don't got it. I said, Balaam's donkey spoke in tongues. He didn't have it. You know? I mean, if I've spoken in tongues, I've said, you know, bonjour, monsieur, comment ça va? Yeah, that's French. That's another language. That's another tongue. And I knew I didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I could speak in other languages a little bit. Phrase here, a phrase there. And like Brother Brandt called, they're a bunch of impersonators. They get to the place where, you know, if you can just rattle your tongue enough times, that you know, you'll say something that sounds like you know, it's in tongues. Well, you know, maybe tongues, but, you know, the Bible evidence isn't unknown tongues, because every man heard them in their own language. It wasn't unknown. You know, they called it glossolalia, and they got real fancy with it. And, you know, just, you know, they trained people to, you know, just kind of roll your tongue, and, you know, pretty soon you're speaking in tongues. Brother Bell told me he knew a man that he could speak seven languages, went into a Pentecostal church, and three of them were cursing God in tongues. Two of them were blessing God in languages he understood. You see, so, you know, it's just got to be, like Brother Bram said, there's no sincerity. There's no real desire for the Holy Ghost to burn them out, to sanctify them out. It's just a bunch of church. And then he talked about the way people dress. You know, they have their suits are so finely tailored that they couldn't even bend over. They can't even kneel down. I asked the question with the sisters. You know, you know what your dresses are. Are they so streamlined that you couldn't kneel down? You know, some people, they kind of walk like this, like a penguin, because they can't take a step because their skirts are just like a tube. Well, you can't kneel down with it in a tube. You know, just be honest with God. You know, what are my clothes like? You know, am I at any moment, if I feel led to just get on my knees, can I do it? Or am I going to rip out my clothes in doing so? If you're going to rip them out, then rip them out. Get rid of them. Okay, from question and answers, part one, Brother Brown says, and they wonder how the World War, First World War, look, it stopped on November the 11th at the 11th hour of the day, the 11th month, the 11th day, and the 11th hour. And immediately after that, the water baptism in Jesus' name was revealed and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the church exactly immediately after that. And if you take it on over into Revelations, how that it tied together, and between the Philadelphia age and the Laodicean, the Methodist had the Philadelphian age, the brotherly love, and the last age, church age, was the Laodicean age, which is lukewarm age. And he said in there, I have set a door, an open door before you, an open door, and you you refer those scriptures back, and it'll tie the entire message right into that one place there to show you exactly. Now, one other thing about 1918, because 1918 is when the Spanish influenza. So here you got, all of a sudden, the war stopped, 9 million people tallied up, they're dead. Now the Spanish influenza starts. See, you're talking about confusion. 10 is order, 12 is governance, and in between, one less in governance is non-governed. Confusion, chaos. One more than order is adding two, and now you've got chaos again. So what do you got? You got chaos. So basically the Wesleyan age is done. Boom, it's gone. And because they rejected the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what happens? World War I broke out. See, 1906... You know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and when the people, the churches, rejected it, didn't go on, then what happens? World War I breaks out, 9 million people, and then goes into chaos. You got the Spanish influenza, 40 million people died, 1 billion people were affected by it. That was one-third of the world's population at the time, affected by this thing that took place. So see, all these things were not just, you know, it's not a coincidence. Like that little stream, you know, that little, and that's not a coincidence. You know, there's something going on. Okay. Anyway, so he says, from Jehovah Jireh, our Heavenly Father, the world is sharp, truly. The word is sharp, truly, Lord, and it cuts. But the people have sat just as patiently and sweetly, and Father God, laying this foundation back to let those Christians know that they have not lost their covenant. It was given to them unconditionally. But they'll lose their reward if they don't come back into the promised land. They lost the joy. The world began to creep into the church. We see how it's getting, and it's according to thy word. There's no way to stop. We can stop it, Father. But we're trying to get those who are willing to come, for we believe this is the 11th hour call. The midnight cry is fixing to be given. Science says that it's less than 3 minutes till midnight, when the whole world will be blown to pieces. Now, this is 1961. What if some fanatic would let one of them bombs loose tonight and it would come into one of the radar screens? Every nation in the world would turn loose bombs. The world can't survive it, Father. But before it happens, you made a promise that we'd be gone. So if it could happen before morning, the Sputniks, and the world could come to an end just in a moment, and we see it scientifically, then if it's that close, how close is the coming? When it'll come before that? The rapture of the church. We won't have to stand the judgments. You paid that for us. We're in you, free from judgment. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Like he says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you're in him. Then when he leaves, you leave with him. You see? From the mark of the beast, Brother Ram said, notice they harden their hearts. Now, when was there ever a complete global strife after that time? Was the First World War. All the armies, the nations, were gathering into one, and they was writing on the decline of the First World War. Nobody knows today whoever made an issue of peace. Kaiser Wilhelm said he didn't do it. No general said he did it. But notice how strange it was. It was on the 11th day of 11 o'clock in the day, the 11th day of the month, 11th month in the year, the 11th hour of the day, and 11 minutes till 11. What was it? Hold, stop, mysteriously. What did it? God's issue went forth to hold it. Hold the four winds. Winds means war and strife. We know. Until we have got Israel back in Palestine again. Hold the four winds, and it stopped right there on the 11th hour. Because remember, Jesus, speaking of the 11th hour people, and the one that was coming in the 11th hour, what did he say? Oh, don't be dumb, be spiritual. Look, how did he say the 11th hour people got the same wages the one did that come in the first hour? Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost has to go right back and seal the Jew like the first one was sealed, that 11th hour people. Hold for the four winds. Don't let the world be destroyed until we seal the servants of God in their foreheads. Now, this is 1961. All right. From the token, 1964, Brother Bram says, just think, the great Holy Spirit coming, identifying Jesus Christ alive after 2,000 years, see the very nature of him doing the same things that he promised it would be. That's right. I'm so grateful for you, friends. You're that 11th hour people standing here just getting in. And I'm so glad you come. Each of you remember, it was God who told you to come. Humanly, you wouldn't have done it. But God told you to do it. And from Recognizing Your Day in its message, 1964, Brother Ramsey said, the time of the Gentiles has been in this Pentecostal feast. The trumpets under all of them was sounded under the sixth seal. And we picked it up last Sunday under the Feast of the Trumpets. If you all want to get to it, what was it to do? To rush the Jews from all parts of the world back into their homeland, and it must be there. And the opening of the seals under the sixth seal, and the seven trumpets sounded in the sixth seal. Now, the seventh angel's message is to open the mystery of the seals, calling the 11th hour Gentile worker to receive the same pay as the first hour worker got. See? Now, Jesus taught it. He said, there were some peoples went in into the harvest, and they were hired. And early in the morning, they received a time for a penny for a day. And then at noontime, someone else come in and went to work. And then at the 11th hour, that's the last hour of the day, that someone come in and received the same kind of pay that they did at the first hour of the day, or the last hour. See? It's so perfectly how the first hour messengers with the word, with the gospel, with the truth, they came in that day of Pentecost. Then there was a dark age that blocked them out. Then at the middle of the day, Luther and Wesley and them came in. And then there is to be an evening time message, and to receive the same thing that they did at the beginning. The evening time message is to restore back again, to bring back that same thing. So we see in all these things that the importance of the 11th hour. Now, it's interesting also to note that in 1 Kings in the 11th year, in the month Bul, which the month Bul is November. Was the house or the temple finished throughout all the parts thereof and according of all the fashion of it, so the 7 years in building it. So it took 7 years to build. In 1 Kings 6 and verse 38, it says in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. Oh, excuse me, that's another one. In the 11th year in the month Bul, okay, that's the month November, after 7 years of working on it, the temple came to completion. Okay, now, so you got the number 11 there. Now, also in 2 Kings 9 and verse 29, and in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah, and that is the year that Jezebel was thrown from the wall, and the dogs licked her blood, and ate her flesh. So, again, Jezebel then was destroyed in that 11th year. Again, another 11. And in Exodus 26 and verse 7, and thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair, remember the goat was for a sin offering, to be covered upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain shall be 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. That's just interesting, you know, that the curtains all of one measure, so the penny for a day. You know, the first hour, the last hour, they all got the penny for a day. And from the inner veil, Brother Branham said, that's what the church needs today, is an experience that'll take them into or under the Shekinah glory, where all the curtains will fall and hide the man from the things of the world, till you live in the presence of God, under His great power, under the interlocked wings of the Holy Ghost, and in the cross you'll stand, and the cross don't become a burden anymore. Okay, and from Hebrews chapter 5, Brother Branham said, watch, let's turn just a moment to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Listen close. I want to read this a little bit, the 9th chapter, but the 11th verse. So it's interesting, the 11th verse. But Christ becoming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, his own tabernacle, his flesh. See, the old tabernacle, did you notice the old tabernacle had a veil in it that hid the ark where God lived? How many knows that? Sure. Well, that old man-made tabernacle here, the curtains out of dyed goat skins and so forth, were made a tabernacle to hide the presence of God. How many knows that? That once that the man would go in there once a year. Certainly, that was Aaron. He would go in once a year, and he must be anointed. And all the requirements. He must have fire in his hand, and if he went without that, he died as soon as he moved that veil back. He dropped dead. He must go in there and light these candlesticks and sprinkle the mercy seat, which called out the blood of the death of the substitutionary. So Christ must come to fulfill. But God then became of another type of a tabernacle, and that tabernacle was who? Was Jesus. And God was inside of Jesus, and he was hid, but he was reconciling the world to himself by his expression. Christ revealed God. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. I do nothing in myself, but what I see the Father doing. The Father in me, showing me these visions. And then I do just what the Father told me to do. You get it? God was inside of a human body, not behind goat skins dyed, but was a living, moving God. God had hands, God had feet, God had tongue, God had eyes, and it was Christ. So here, when you're looking then, at these, there was 11 curtains which hid the presence of God, and now that curtain was taken away, and the curtain was ripped in two, and now here stood the Son of God on the cross, the curtain that God was behind. Well, what happens? You've got the 11th hour, you've got the 11 curtains, now you've got the one. You've got God stood behind a man, William Branham, did the same thing in this hour. You know, because this is, I mean, it's exactly... So, I guess what I'm just looking at is that there's a lot of significance here. I just haven't begun to really plumb the depth of it. And, I mean, we're just maybe hitting the tip of an iceberg here on this 11th hour parable. But I did want to bring out the fact that the 11th hour people, you know, the focus of that, because Brother Brown keeps calling them the 11th hour people, 11th hour people. And he says, notice how it would have all been blown away. Armageddon would have taken place back in 1918 there. But he said, all of a sudden, something stopped it. He said, well, that was God that stopped it. Why? Because he said the Jews weren't in their place yet. So God had to gather, using pressure, from Germany, from Italy, from Russia, from all the places the Jews had gone, driving them home, until finally they're in the, their in their land. And so now then, we as the end, last of the Gentile, if you want to call it race, we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have received the baptizer. Now, what's left? Just one group of people. And that's the Jews. So I hope this helps us to see what Jesus is talking about here. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. I realize that when you get into all these types and symbols and everything else, it gets a little confusing. But I pray, Father, you just help us to relax and just to recognize the fact that we're living in the 11th hour, that the midnight cry is actually gone forth, because that happens at the end of the at the end of the 11th hour, and we're at the end time. We've heard that shout. The bride has made herself ready. She's got her lamps trimmed. She's trimming them every day. She's going through the scriptures and looking at these scriptures. She's trimming. And she has the oil. And it's just a matter of going home, Father. We know as soon as we do, then you'll turn to the Jews. You'll fill them with the Holy Ghost. And then you'll wrap up the whole thing in one last big shebang. And so, Father, we just ask that you'd just help us, Lord, to ever be prepared and to just be tilled up and to examining ourselves daily. And Lord, that we just there'd be nothing that would hinder us when we cross Jordan. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I certainly don't want anything to be standing in my way when I'm ready to go. I certainly don't want to have that voice say, well, you know what? You did run well, but what has hindered you? So let's all stand to our feet and we'll just sing that song of commitment to the Lord. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's 2 Timothy, I believe it is.